I'm with Helen Captain. Now we're in the middle of the Central Goldfields Art Gallery. How are you going, Helen?
I'm really well. Great
Some
to see you, Dan.
Wonderful, wonderful tapestries around. We call them, do we?
Oh, you can use that word. We probably would say art quilts.
Art quilts.
I just say they're beautiful works of art.
Certainly. Yeah.
And we are using the term quilt. So that's meaning, and for our exhibition, two layers of fabric and the stitching that's associated with it.
Yep.
So it is a long, long tradition quilting, as you know.
And this exhibition, probably a long tradition now.
It does.
12
and
years since it started.
Oh, yeah. And we really have Jenny Bacon, local woman, to thank for that idea, and Kay Parkin, who was at the gallery at that time. Yeah. So something to be really proud of. And its genesis relates to the history of Maryborough and the knitting mills and the textile history that we have here. So it's very much a homage or a celebration of that history.
So looking around, I can see there's a winner on one of them.
Yeah.
So what was all that about?
Well, we have 18 quilts on display, and like you say, extremely colourful, very diverse the subject matter. And Alice Clegg was one of the judges and I was the other person, and we spent nearly 4 hours, Dan, in the space.
Don't like your job because they're all good.
They're all really good. Yeah. And the winning work is this one by Suzanne Lyle.
Yep.
And the title is Crown of Thorns. Mm. Now, it's really interesting, the Crown of Thorns, because I was thinking, oh, Crown of Thorns, what does that make me think of? But it's actually a euphorbia, an indoor plant. Yeah. I did not know that. But if you look...
I'm starting to think of reefs, you know.
Yes, yeah.
Religious elements.
I did think of that too. So when we look at the artwork, we could discuss it together, couldn't we? Like, it's very bright.
It is very bright.
Reds, yellows, blacks. Mm. Would you say abstract, Dan?
Yes, probably. You'd say abstract.
Mm. Mm. And what about the black, the sharp black? They're almost triangles, aren't they?
Yes, they are. Yes. Mm. That's the thorny bit, I imagine.
The thorny bit. So I didn't know that. So I have to say I looked up the Crown of Thorns and saw it's got these remarkable spikes. So the work is technically outstanding, the concept of the Crown of Thorns, but abstracted in this way is really interesting. So
it is very thorny.
It is very thorny, isn't it? There's lots of depth to a two-dimensional work that's been created out of colour. This artist used textiles as her palette, and it's interesting. She talks about making this quilt last year when she was at home, and she got into growing indoor plants and semi-hydroponics, I gather. She created an artwork based on the Crown of Thorns that she was growing. So really the colour of the flower, but very strong element of the spikes as well.
So we're all stuck at home. So this is her stuck at home quilt.
This is her stuck at home. And there are, in the exhibition too, if we were to look at Noelle Lyon, I like this one.
Yes,
there's a lot of humour in
Noelle.
That one. So Noelle Lyon has done a portrait, I think, of herself during lockdown.
Yes,
so fluffy slippers. The mask on, the twisty packet around her neck, and I think it's called Staring at the Wallpaper. She says it's my experience of being quarantined in Melbourne for 8 months.
Yes, you know? It is Noel to a T. And there's all sorts of different ways of quilting. We're looking at one here that's entirely different. I think that might be the one you've used for your exhibition paper.
We have. It's very beautiful. Mm. Can we wander over?
We certainly can.
Well, it's actually interesting. This one that we're looking at is Kathy Jack Coupland called And Then There Were Three. So it's beautiful bright colours, isn't it? It's very joyful.
Yep.
It's what you'll see when you walk into the gallery. What we do like about this work is it's about a metre, isn't it? It's freestanding, so we're behind the work at the moment.
Yep.
And to be able to look behind the work, I think, is really interesting, and people are enjoying that. So that's the back of... It's an embroidered quilt, this one. So you're seeing softer colours, and you're seeing that, she does not have any knots. There's no fraying. It's remarkable.
I don't know how she's done that, because usually behind the quilt doesn't matter.
But the front of the quilt is this, they're sensational, spectacular, bright colours, and then there were three. So the middle element are these two birds, and then there's the three eggs and the three birds at the end. But what is interesting, knowing about this quilt, is there is a tapestry dating to the medieval times, 70 metres in length, called the Bayeux Tapestry.
Yes, there is.
And that's interesting, I think, to know about, because Kathy Kathy is this is her Australian version of that, a story she's made using the Australian landscape, yep. I don't know what birds they are, but Australian birds, and telling her narrative in quilting.
It's great, and that nod to history as well, the Bayeux Tapestry, one of the most famous of all, I guess, even though the topic is not real flash. So, if someone comes along, when can they have a look?
Galleries open from Thursday to Sunday, but it's fantastic. So many people are interested in quilts, and today we're looking forward to welcoming the U3A, so it's a Wednesday, so we can really adjust some of our times to be open and offer those guided tours outside of the set gallery hours, which are 10 in the morning through till 4 p.m. from Thursday to Sunday. We are free. It's so important to say that.
Yes,
this
absolutely.
Is the community's public art gallery,
sure
a place
is.
To come to enjoy. Look, I think to marvel at these artworks. Jenny Bacon, the local artist who started this, said quilts have come a long way. They started as being the coverings on beds, and they still use that, and now they are on the wall. And these ones really are a profile of a national exhibition. Very proud to say that, actually, and profiling the creativity of this art form. The other thing I'd like to mention is that it is possible for people to be the judge. Uh-huh. We are having a People's Choice
Award.
Choice.
Oh,
so when you come in, and Dan,
you've
got to make your choice today, to vote for who you think should be the winner, and we'll announce that the most popular quilt from the votes at the end of the exhibition. And
Which is?
Well, this one's on through to the 9th of May, so it's
so
quite a good run,
a fair
that
bit
one.
Of time.
Yeah.
So drop in and have a look. And of course, there is some artist talks on as well.
Yes, well, Jenny Bacon and myself will lead a nice, relaxed, but will be informative talk through the gallery Thursday the 18th of March, 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Okay.
And we're doing more and more of this kind of opportunity, and people love to know a little bit more about how something's made, what are the ideas, and we encourage conversation, and that's part of what's important to have happen in the gallery.
Well, thanks for your time this morning. It's always wonderful to come into the gallery. Got another task to do in a moment or two, so who are we going to talk to?
Very delighted. Dr. Megan Cardamone, who is the gallery's cultural access officer, is here, and she is working on the collection, and what she is doing is digitising the collection, and that's happening in the gallery as well. So people
can see it as it's happening.
Yeah, on
it's
Thursday
happening.
And Friday, as it's happening.
So we'll wander around and find Megan. I'm with Megan Cardamone now, digitising the gallery. Welcome, Megan.
Hi, how are you?
What's it all about? Why is the gallery digitising its collection?
Well, some of your listeners would be aware that galleries and museums around Australia are digitising their collections. And there's several reasons why institutions are doing this work. Having digital images of our objects is really important for cataloguing and managing collections. For example, for checking and monitoring the condition of works, and seeing if any conservation treatments might be needed. And then once an item is digitised, it often reduces the need to handle it, so that can help with preserving the artwork. And the other benefit is the ability to share these images with the whole world. So certainly here, one of our main goals and reasons for digitising this collection is so that it can become accessible online to the public across the world. Of course, this will all take time, and certain important steps have to occur to reach this goal, such as getting copyright permissions and creating a new standalone website for the gallery. But we're really committed to making it possible for everyone to be able to view and enjoy the gallery's wonderful collection at any time on the web.
So how many works are you going to digitise?
There's around 180 works in the collection, and we're aiming to digitise all of these.
That's a big project.
Yes, it is.
It's going to take a while.
Yes.
What does the digitisation process involve?
So to begin with, one of the most important things is that we check and follow recognised standards for digitisation of heritage. In our sector, the key guidelines are national standards for Australian museums and galleries. Another important guide is the image capture standards set out by the National Library of Australia. And another useful tool, which gives very practical information, is a guide produced by Museums Australia called Crystal Clear. And these are all available online to anyone who's interested. These guidelines dictate how we capture images of artworks, so the file formats we use and resolution quality, and then also how we arrange and store our image files. So, for example, it's important to keep one set of images as master images, which are carefully stored and never used or modified because they're the preservation copies. And then we make another set of all the images which can be opened and edited and used for things like graphic design, obviously with copyright permission. And that raises another important factor. phase in our project. Digitising artworks throws up a whole new set of tasks around gaining permissions. Because we want to publish our collection online and perhaps use artwork images for promoting the gallery, we need to go to the artist, or if they're deceased, we go to the copyright holder to seek permissions. And this might be the artist's estate or their family members if the artist has passed away. So this can be a really lengthy process, as we need to identify the correct person to contact and then seek their permission using a legal agreement. It can take quite a bit of time, but we feel it's important legally and morally to have properly gained these permissions.
So how long does the process take?
Well, I came on board in November, and of course there was a planning phase, and then we needed to locate and retrieve all the artworks. Some of them were on loan at different venues, and we brought them all back to the gallery. And then the digitising began, and that phase has run from early January to mid-March. So we're reaching the end of that actual digitising period, and whilst we've begun the work to contact copyright holders, the bulk of that work will probably take place from late March to the middle of the year. And we've been doing the imaging work in a pop-up studio in the gallery. So people have been coming in and watching the process for about the past 6 weeks, and people can still pop in and see this until we finish on March 19th.
So there you go, an opportunity to come along and see your work.
Yes.
So have you been surprised by anything that's come up? Any of the works of art, have you thought, oh, I didn't even know that existed, or what a wonderful piece of work that no one's ever seen?
One of the amazing things we've discovered through doing some research and bringing all the works together is that there's a number of artists in the collection who were art teachers. So there's a strong theme of people who were educators in the art world. And a lot of Maryborough people may be familiar with some of these names that may have been taught by some of these people. So that's a lovely local connection that we've found.
Megan, thanks for your time today.
No worries. Thanks. And, thank you.
What a wonderful project that everyone's going to be able to see.
Everyone's welcome.
The world.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you very much.